Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Happy New Year's, everybody. It's Dr. Drew here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show tonight Joel McHale from The Soup.
Aw, thanks. It's like a dream come true.
It's a dream for me, too, because we watch every episode. It's E, Friday nights, 10 p.m. It airs more than just that,
yes,
right?
It's E's sawed-off shotgun approach to television.
Just like every night.
They air it like 400 times.
Because I think my TiVo picks it up. We get like 14 E, yeah. 14 soups.
Yeah.
And my kids watch it. They love it. Everyone, I mean, seriously, people like that show.
They also don't tell DirecTV what's a first run or a repeat.
Right.
So it just, people are like, Joel, will you please? I can't.
Do I have to watch you again?
I was like, get a TiVo with more hours.
You've done a great job with the show. You really have.
Thank you.
It's been a lot. You know, the little known fact, Adam and I hosted Talk Soup.
Really?
Years ago. And I think you have the same. Is Tom still there?
Tom is still there, yes.
You got to bring him back in front of the camera a little more. I miss him.
Yes, he is a pillar.
He does weird dances and things. Is he still doing that
stuff?
Yeah,
he still does stuff. Yeah. Just this last episode, we talked about his moobs.
His moobs.
His
man
boobs. Yes. And
we need to get a plastic surgeon for him.
Yeah, that's right. We could tie it in with Dr. 90210.
Yes.
I would love to talk to you about those guys.
Tell me. Talk to me. Go ahead.
I was just wondering what you think of those guys. Do you wear, like, cut-off scrubs and you do push-ups and high kicks before?
No.
You're a sensible doctor.
Things are a little more serious on my work.
And, you don't do Tai Chi.
And they're getting kind of, the one guy's getting like a little flamboyant.
Yeah. It's Dr. Like, Robert Ray?
Like, dude.
He looks like a peppermint, he looks like a peppermint stick. With
yes.
His suits. And then his hair.
Yes.
He's got it all highlighted now. It is awesome.
This is what television does to people.
Like, you think like a doctor like that, you can clearly tell his wife has some work. Does that like a mechanic?
Like
works
she had
on
some
cars.
She had, well, you know what they say though. The contractor's house is usually the most run down in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Whereas in his case,
she looked pretty good.
She looks pretty. Does that mean that you would like prescribe anything you want for your?
No,
wife?
You know what? I don't do anything to my family. I don't. It's a boundary problem. Not only. We're not boring people with this stuff, but not only is it just unethical, it's just not right to prescribe to your own family.
Right.
Your judgment doesn't work. I mean, you're trained to use your judgment in a certain situation.
Right.
And when you're affected by relationships and family and all the heavy feelings, your brain doesn't work. It just, you can't do what you normally do.
Douglas needs more Percocet.
Thank you. I'll just send him over to you, Joel. So Joel, little known fact about Joel, he was a tight end for University of Washington Huskies.
That's right.
In the late 90s.
Yeah, I was,
mid 90s.
I was bad.
And you were a history major.
I was history, yes, World War II history. World War I and the time in between.
Wow.
So I should do a soup on that. That would be not very fascinating.
Just do the History Channel. And then you went back and did an acting.
Yeah, I did a master's degree in acting. And, of course, that leads to making fun of reality television.
Good.
We had a whole semester on that, of course. So I thought,
you put that to good use. I mean, that was just just a single semester course. You turned into an entire career.
Yeah, exactly. It was, we would dissect things just like Shakespeare. We dissected American Idol, Survivor. But now it's really opened up to so many stupid shows. But so came here and then, of course, now hosting.
And Seattle's your hometown.
Seattle will always be my hometown. Go Seahawks, Sonics, and Mariners. And that's my hometown. We just got back from there, and the weather was exactly the same as it is here now.
Right, with this novelty, freaking crazy rain. I sat in the Rose Parade stand today thinking, what the F am I doing here? This is crazy.
And you couldn't have an umbrella, right?
Could not have an umbrella.
That's awesome.
We could have poncho on top of poncho and still be soaking wet. I thought to myself, you know, it rains in the East, but it doesn't rain like this. This is like novelty. I couldn't hear the SC marching band. The sound of the rain was so loud. It was like, this is ridiculous.
Right. And the horn players were drowning.
Drowning.
Because
their
horns were filling. And were you at the whole parade?
We made it about an hour in there. I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Were the roses blooming?
No, they're better. They didn't have to worry about the flowers this year.
Right.
You know, normally like, oh, the flowers are gonna wilt. Got to put them on last second.
So the flowers are a great time.
Great. Floats look great. So.
Were there as many people?
No, not nearly as many people as usual. And Leanne Rimes looked good. I don't know how the hell she held that together through the whole thing.
Well.
But now I watch your year-end thing.
Yes.
And Bobby Brown scored big.
Well, we think that Whitney and Bobby are as great. Have they ever been in here?
Yes, he has.
Okay.
He has.
Yeah, I can't imagine Whitney would be making it.
No.
Well, there's that argument they had where she ends. Well,
now tell me about that. Now they were talking. All of a sudden, they were talking about him going to prison and then George Bush.
That was a George Bush war discussion. It began as, and then he thought basically George Bush had put him in jail.
George Bush did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was defending him.
And the kiss my ass came in
they were screaming at each other across the room.
So she was telling Bobby to kiss her ass.
Yeah, to kiss my ass.
And kiss my ass now has become. I hope we get the drop of that.
I need to get
Anderson,
that
do we have that? We could use that.
And I'll bring it in.
All right, please.
We have it on our shirts.
It's Whitney looks straight at the camera and just screams, "Kiss my ass!"
She's like, "Kiss my ass!" And in her beautiful, she's got such a powerful instrument, as we would say.
Yes.
And she just is perfect. It's a perfect moment, and we use it in so many. I mean,
every episode,
probably too much.
Every episode, it shows up again and again and again.
We just slip it in there.
And you know, poor Whitney. It seems like
I don't know if you should do some sort of
intervention show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Just bring them in.
Yeah.
There were times, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe it should have been renamed Publicist Nightmare, because some of the things they were doing, I just thought they just let them. You think like, oh, you shouldn't make fun of them. But then it's like, hey, they're the ones that are being paid for the cameras to be there. So
is there any other show that impressed you as much as that one?
Well,
I saw a Tyra tirade.
We love the Tyra.
Yeah.
We call her, she's Tyrifying. And when she screamed at that poor girl.
Yeah. I couldn't blame her, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she was talking a lot. But then now she has, she's like Adam, and she has, 12 shows on the air.
Yes, yes.
And she did her talk show where she took her bra off. And I don't know if you saw it.
I heard about that.
It was liberating and fierce. And she took her bra off underneath her shirt, of course, and to reveal two gorgeous breasts in and I thought the poor women watching must be like, they even look good like that. And then she had a doctor examine them to confirm they were totally real.
Some guy had to come on and do that?
A real doctor, which I had applied for the job, but I didn't have the credentials.
And I had them, and they didn't ask me to do it.
Of course. And then she did burst out crying when she said she had no plastic surgery.
Meaning?
Didn't make sense to me. I was like, because everyone wants to look like you. You're the supermodel.
And she's crying that she had
never... She's crying that she had never made that choice.
Very sad.
It was very weird. But we love her. She doesn't really like us, we hear.
Then I saw a little footage from Swapping Moms.
Oh, yeah. The God Mom?
She's got a show now or something?
I thought she was going to be on Celebrity Fit Club.
Okay.
But then that was totally wrong. But
you made a reference to that, and I thought, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought, because that was a joke, and I thought, I think that's real. But no, I heard that things are happening. I know that. I think there's an action doll.
Oh, my. She's a very dangerous person.
That's psychosis,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's total.
Total meltdown, very serious, needs medication. And
yeah. When she was saying, I was praying, and then her daughter was like, we were praying for you. And then she was like, I did hear you, to one of the daughters. Like, she singled out one of the. And I just thought, oh, my gosh. This is great. And then we got MTV's Date My Mom is one of our
You like
favorites.
That one, too.
Oh, thank God for MTV.
Thank God Loveline's not on the air anymore. We'd be we'd be regular targets of your show, no doubt.
Well, no, I don't think we could. We could, because you at no point did you...
We sink that low?
You never said, he or she looks like Harry Potter with a vagina, ever.
Not that we didn't use those words, but close. I mean, after all, I worked at Adam Carolla for a lot of
Hey,
years.
Drew. Yes.
Yeah.
I just loaded this in for you.
She's not a Christian!
That's good. That's the God Mom.
I think she was in our top five.
Yes,
definitely top 10.
Oh, here we go. The mic's breaking again, guys. Every single night, I'm switching to yellow here.
I think you can then freestyle into
there
that
we
mic.
Go. All right, let's take some calls, shall we? 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale is the host of E's new, revision of Talk Soup, now called The Soup, which is focused on reality and talk and not just talk.
He likes to think things are always new.
Yes.
They're always freshly happening.
All right, let's talk to...
Yes,
Oh, God.
Thanks too much.
Nina, you're on the air here. Turn your radio off. You're 21. What's going on there? Oh, for God's sakes.
That's Nina.
Hey,
hey, Nina.
Hey.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. You're on with Joel McHale from The Soup.
Do you know what E is?
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, great.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, when I was younger, and I would just be watching TV, and I'd see people, you know, kissing, and my vagina, particularly my clitoris, would throb and tingle. And I would squeeze my vagina to make it stop because I didn't like that feeling, you know.
Me too.
And now that I'm older, it's completely gone. It doesn't happen, and I want it back. So I was wondering if you knew what I could do to make it come back.
What show were you watching?
Your show, no doubt.
Well, but you said you were watching shows where people were kissing?
Oh, just anything, like with...
Like daytime dramas or something?
Yeah, just with people kissing and...
I see.
Matlock.
You ever had a boyfriend?
Yes, I did.
Are you sexually active?
Yes, we've been together for a while.
And it's a little unclear what it is you're looking for. Are you having trouble having an orgasm?
Well, I can get that feeling when I have an orgasm, while I'm having an orgasm, but I would like to have that feeling like as
you're watching TV.
Yeah, or as
you should get DirecTV because it has everything.
Well, I've watched, you know, Channel 16 and the Two Kids and all that, and it still doesn't give me that feeling.
You're kidding.
Nina, what do you do for a living?
Oh, can you guess?
No, I can't.
Cable,
Arby's,
installer.
McDonald's.
No.
What?
I'm a security officer.
Security guard?
Yes.
What are you guarding?
Everyone around me.
Everyone. She guards everyone. Oh. Nina, here's the. Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
Are you on birth control pills?
Yes.
Yes.
Been on the birth control pills since I was 15.
They don't say jelly belly on them.
That may be what's changing how you respond. No, it's true that birth control pills, particularly for some women, the progesterone-dominant pills, the ones with, like, high potency of progesterones, make them less sort of responsive. Some women, the estrogens can affect them. You need to talk to your doctor about maybe switching the sort of balance of estrogen and progesterone and maybe get that tingling thing back. There you go. I mean, because she said she balanced and she was 15, and that's back when she lost that feeling. So
and
that might
she
it.
Was watching Channel... See, that's great.
Channel 16. You watched that one all the time, of course.
Oh, 16 was awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
That had everything.
That's, yeah. Krista, 16.
Hi. Yeah, I was calling because, well, me and my friends, we used to, like, experiment on drugs. And, like, well, I quit. I used to be addicted to coke, and it was hurting them so much that I quit for them.
For who?
For my friends.
Yeah.
And they were doing, like, different stuff like X and acid.
What's your question?
What?
What's your question?
They're doing Robitussin.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it, like, so much, like, mm-hmm. every day, like, usually, like, 3 bottles because it doesn't get the same effect anymore.
And your question?
And is that going to hurt them? Is that going to liquefy
yes.
their brain?
That's going to hurt them. That's going to hurt them. That it's basically like the high dose of Robitussin is sort of a mix between PCP and methadone. That's the systems that are sort of activated through that. And there's, you know, go online and read what can happen to people. It'll change lots of problems, cause mood disturbances, personality changes. It's pretty serious. It could potentially be withdrawal syndromes. And look, this is one of several drugs they're doing. So clearly your friends are in trouble. And your brain is a delicate instrument. I don't know how else to say this, that you put your brain on drugs, you're going to injure it. There's some drugs we know are going to injure things badly. Amphetamines cause brain damage. Ecstasy, brain damage. LSD, brain damage. You're not going to be the same after doing these drugs, potentially ever. And maybe living with difficulty. You know, young kids have a droll way of thinking, like, well, I'm not going to use my brain anyway. I don't plan to be a surgeon. No, no. How you feel moment to moment is dependent on your brain's health. And how you feel about yourself, how you have the feelings that are generated. You can feel like S all the time if you want. And doing a lot of drugs like that is a way to get to that
place. But good for you for getting off the robo.
Yeah, robo tripping. Sabrina, 21.
Hi.
Hey there, what's going on? You're on with Joel McHale from The Soup. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Sabrina, do you know what that is?
No.
Shoot.
Really?
Dang it.
I thought that everybody knew that show. It's popular in my house.
We should take a quiz of every caller.
Don't do that yourself. Just Loveline. Sabrina, what's up?
Hi. I was calling because a year ago, I cheated on my husband. He wasn't my husband then.
And the guy that I cheated on him with was a lot bigger. And when I got back with him, like 2 months later, we got married, and then I got pregnant. And but I haven't enjoyed sex with him as much since. But I don't know if it's because the sex was better with the guy I cheated on him with that I'm just not enjoying it, or if because I got pregnant, or if because my husband's 46. So I don't know if there's a way I can start enjoying my love life better again.
Oh, my gosh. how quickly did you get, or how soon after you had sex with that guy did you marry your current husband?
I want to say it was like 3 months.
Why'd you do that? What was
why
the hurry?
Did I get married?
Yeah.
Or what? Well, I got married because I really, really cared about him. But what had happened was he was working overnight, so I didn't see him a lot. And I felt like we were losing what we had. And then I had misunderstood something he said, and I thought he had said he never wanted children. And he knew before we got into a relationship that one of my goals was to have children. So I felt like he had brought me into a relationship.
Thank you.
Wait, but you married him anyway, even though you misunderstood him?
Well, he explained it to me afterwards that he didn't, what he had said was he wasn't going through something again when we heard a baby crying at a restaurant, but what he meant was he was going to discipline our child so that they know when we're out in a restaurant that they're not supposed to act up.
And because of that, you married him 3 months later? Or
well, no, he explained it to me and said that he didn't.
Sabrina, what was the hurry? What was the rush to get married in 3 months? You just had sex with some other guy. And then rush off to get married? You feel guilty, or what's the deal?
No, well, I really cared about him. It was just I had made a mistake, and I realized that.
What was the mistake?
I cheated on him. I didn't. It was.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Sounds like it was that much of a mistake, and that you sort of now missed the guy you cheated with, and you're questioning
well,
this relationship, and you rushed off into a marriage, and you got pregnant. Well, here's the bottom line. You've relinquished all right to any sort of real questioning of this marriage. You now are a family, and you've got to give this a shot. So. Here's the deal. You are pregnant. Yes, things can change dramatically in your sexual responsiveness during pregnancy. Well, how far along are you?
I already had the baby. The baby, she's 4 months old now.
All right. Well, for that first year, it's very common for there to be a lot of drop-off in your sexual desire.
You just pooped a watermelon, and that's going to everything needs to come back together again.
And not only that, it's not even just the anatomic coming back together. I know you studied history at University of Washington, not biology.
Thank you.
But the reality is that there are these huge biological changes that leave you sort of let down, let's say, after having been at these high levels of hormones with what's produced by your placenta and whatnot. And that drops you off a cliff, basically. And women, for about a year, typically don't feel very sexual. It's nature's way of preventing another baby from coming along real fast. Are you breastfeeding now?
I am.
All right, and that holds you back even further. So here's the deal. Stop questioning your husband. Stop thinking about that other guy. Commit yourself to this marriage, and let's get on with this here.
But isn't there something to be said for someone who was bigger? Oh, my gosh. Like, that was the first thing she thought of. She was like, well, I'm pregnant now. It's got to be the bigger thing.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Oh, man.
Well, she didn't go to college like you did.
Thank you.
You know, I mean,
was a state school. It was a state school.
It was stupid. It's a University of Washington. Come on.
46,000 people.
Christy, 20.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Okay. I'm 6 months pregnant. At my last doctor's appointment, the one before this one that I just passed, they accused me of being anorexic.
Are you?
I used to be. I've struggled with it on and off since I was 12.
Okay, so it's not a used-to-be thing. It's like addiction. It's something that's kind of chronic, and you're only 20 now, so it's probably still with you. And it's a serious thing when you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not. What happened was I started eating more because they accused me of being anorexic because in 5 months I had only gained 4 pounds.
Yeah.
So then from my 5th month to my 6th month, I gained 20 pounds. And I was wondering if there's anything that I can do to stop gaining weight.
I would purge. What about you, Drew?
Yeah. Vomiting is definitely the thing. No, Christy, you just talk to your obstetrician about, you know, to show you the charts of what your normal weight gain should be and go ahead and gain that weight. Clearly, it's going to be tough for you because part of anorexia is having a body image problem, right?
Yeah.
So to see
you
your body.
You are the host body for a living being. This is your one time to enjoy as much food because that little baby needs it. You want it to be normal, right?
I know, but at the same time, like when I have the baby, I don't want to be fat.
You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a living thing in you that will probably be 7 to 9 pounds. Do not worry about your body until three. You're gonna.
Go ahead, Greg. You were good before.
I'm leaving.
You were good before, no. Joel. When you were being very kind to her and saying you've got a living being inside of you, and that little baby needs the food, and that's where you need to say, Christy. But you notice how you flip flop right into I'm gonna be fat. So you aren't anorexic.
Yeah,
you do have anorexia, and to say that you don't is denial.
But because I don't have anorexia anymore. I am eating every day. But
yeah, I understand you're not starving yourself right now, but right. You still have significant manifestations of the syndrome. You're obsessing about your weight. You're not wanting to get fat. You're going to try to control how much you gain.
If so you put like a Stairmaster in the delivery room with you, you could just get right on that thing, I don't know, 10 minutes after if you don't get an epidural.
Right, sure.
Just hop right on there.
And lose it afterwards. But for God's sakes, don't endanger the child because anorexia is a significant risk to your pregnancy. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You hear that denial? Yeah, sure. Whatever you say.
I have another question. The same week that I conceived the baby, I was raped. I was engaged at the time, but I was raped. And when we found out I was pregnant, my fiance broke up with me. I don't know if I should tell him that I was raped and the baby might possibly be from a rape.
Your fiance broke up with you?
Yeah.
So you were no longer with the guy?
I am no longer with him.
And
why did he break up with you?
Because I got pregnant.
With his child, as far as he was concerned?
Yes.
And that made him break up with you?
Yes, I haven't told him that it might be from a rape. Don't.
How old were you when you were sexually abused?
It started at 4.
There you go.
So this
case is not a, were you sexually abused? This is, what ages were you sexually abused?
Yeah.
Because, Christy, this is chaos. You've been in psychiatric hospitals or anything?
No, I went to therapy for about a year, but I don't feel comfortable talking to people face-to-face about my problems.
Well, they're big, and you need to do that. You're a mom now. Your child's going to need you to be available in ways that it's going to be tough for you to be available. And
you need to move into like a therapy
tent,
spa.
Tent, or hyperbaric therapy tent.
And then as soon as your child can do anything, get them with a therapist. As soon as they're oh, boy. What kind of that's a horrible week.
Who abused you?
When I was younger, it was my older sister.
Oh, my goodness. That's a nice
twist. And then I've been raped a total of 4 times between the ages of 12 and now.
Yeah, the adolescent rape is something that happens to adolescents that have been sexually abused in childhood.
Right.
They just become victimized. The victimizers somehow sense that they're good victims. And so it was your sister that did this. How wild. Who got to her?
I don't know. She had a different father than I did. So, like, all growing up, she was, you know, at her dad's house and then at our house. And, you know, she's 7 years older than me.
Yeah,
and she's like the worst aunt for that kid.
Do not let the aunt around that child.
No.
Do not let I wouldn't let in that extended family, Christy's family, around this child because God knows who got at the aunt. But here's the deal, Christy. You do have anorexia, and eating disorders are very common from sexual abuse histories. The recurrent rapes are common in sexual abuse histories. This is all part of trauma, and it needs to be dealt with some professional help. Commit yourself to the child. That's great. Or else maybe give the child up for adoption. It's always an option for you out there. But I've got an important call for Joel here. It's Megan, 19. Megan?
Yes?
Hey, Megan, what's going on?
Oh, hi.
Megan, hi. Do you know what E is?
I know what E is.
Yeah. You know what the soup is?
I know what the soup is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's 1 for 3.
All right, here we go.
So I just wanted to call in and say that I love the soup. I love Joel. It's the funniest show I've ever seen. I try to watch it whenever I get a chance.
Funniest show you ever seen.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Well, I don't watch too much TV, so.
One channel.
All callers cannot give a compliment without qualifying.
I'm blind.
I've never seen television before, but I watched it once, and it was your show. It was the funniest show I ever saw.
Well, I watched The Countdown and, you know,
Billy
and the Kiss My Ass, so.
Yes.
That was good, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. I just wanted to call in and say that I saw the show. I watch it a lot. You're great.
Will you tell your friends about it, Megan?
I will spread the word.
Yes.
Thanks, Megan. Great.
Thanks. Wow.
No problem. Anything,
nothing weird going on in your life? You're okay otherwise?
No, I'm super.
You're super. See?
Is that a
ringing endorsement?
A medical...
No, it's super. Yeah, it's a term. It's a clinical term.
I'm super.
Oh.
So, all right, Megan, take care. Happy
Thanks.
New Year.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm super.
Do you think that if you could prescribe medication over the air, that it would make the show like a worldwide phenomenon? I mean, if that were to be possible for doctors to do, do you think that would be a good thing?
No, it couldn't be done. No. Although I wish sometimes I could sort of just sort of drop it out of a plane, like use a gun, you know, those
you kind of
uranium guns.
Yes, the town that the call came from.
Yes, because like Christy, we bet our medication, yet she can't take it while she's pregnant. So you see, I can't rely on her.
No,
you know, saying she'd be monitored and stuff. So
because she's fat. I'm sorry, Chris.
She's skinny, but she thinks she's fat.
All right.
Joel McHale here tonight from The Soup. It's on E! Friday nights, 10 o'clock. That's its official time. I guess it's
yes,
the time it gets its
and
rating.
And it repeats 80 times.
It repeats 80 times a week. I suggest you all watch it. It's a very good show. I actually requested Joel to be on the show, and he's a Seattle. That's right. He's a Seattle
native,
and he's listened to the show since.
Yes. But now I live in Glendale.
I was just there like 5 hours ago.
Seattle?
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Getting rained on.
Yeah, nice. Me too,
well,
man.
Okay. Well, all right. So, and he lives in Glendale with his wife and child, 11-month-old. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And we'll hear more of your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191 when Loveline continues.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale from The Soup, E! Friday nights, 10 p.m., and 1,000 other times throughout the week.
Yes. Play the game and watch them all.
That's right. That's right.
If you can watch all the episodes, then you win.
And Anderson, Joel likes the drops, my drops. You're fat, you're Mormon, you're gay. Those things. You're a heroin addict.
That's when you're 95.
You're gay.
And
you're gay.
You're fat.
You're gay.
There.
You're fat.
You're fat.
Can you put fat and gay together at the same time?
Oh, is it? Yeah,
could you laugh? You fag. And
oh,
no, I can't do that on the fly, there, Joel, sir.
That's all right. I just thought if you could somehow.
I'm working
combine.
With very ancient technology over here. Mm.
Let's go on to calls. It's Chelsea, 19. Enough for amusing Joel. Chelsea, what's going on?
Hi. I had a question.
Yes.
I just tuned in and I caught the tail end of you talking with somebody else about being date raped and being a victim.
You're a lesbian.
And you were saying that that something about like, biological freezing or some kind of that
yes.
you I set that, up to.
Yes, I didn't say that tonight, but that is something I've spoken of in the past, and that is something that happens that when you are abused as a child. There's a natural phenomenon that occurs called the freeze response, which is sort of a death feigning behavior that is really something we share with other mammals. And before you have more sort of complex and flexible ability to adapt to the environment, your body naturally falls back in these more primitive mechanisms like the freeze response. And, you know, the first thing when you're about to be attacked is you get a fight or flight.
Yeah.
When it's clear that you can't flee and you can't fight it off, you freeze in anticipation of attack. And if that happens to you as a child, that tends to get sort of, let's call it ingrained into you.
You think it's the way to behave.
It's the only means you have. It becomes the way you deal. It becomes the way you deal across a broad range of stresses, but especially when a victimizer comes around, you'll freeze. And boy, victimizers somehow know that and sense it and take full advantage of that.
Well, and I totally, when I heard you talk about that, I was just like, wow, that is so me.
Yeah.
It's exactly, you know, it's hard to explain because, you know, here I thought I was such a strong person. And
you are a strong person. And that whole mechanism can sort of be integrated into a more flexible and sort of adaptive or, let's say, more evolved kind of a response. It can't be done by yourself. You need to have somebody help you with that.
Is this happening a lot to you?
Yeah, well, even in my relationships now.
Or ordering food or anything? I'm sorry. It's really sorry.
Even
but it's
in
true.
My
that's what happens to me.
Now, like when, you know, say like I'll be having sex and, you know, and maybe I'm just not really in the mood, but I kind of end up doing that kind of a freezing thing where, you know, it's the only way it kind of feels like I kind of, start to relive like being raped again, you know?
Right, it's a flashback and you're a little out of body and it's just an implicit memory in your brain that gets reawakened. And it's natural. It's not, I wouldn't call it normal, but it's natural. And it's something that needs to be treated, Chelsea. It's something that is going to bug you for a long time. It's going to affect how you regulate your feelings in many, many other settings as well.
Oh, in my whole life, yeah. I mean, my whole life has just, you know, kind of been around this rape for a few years.
All right, well,
but when you said that, I was just like, wow, you know, because I felt, you know, I blamed myself so much, but that just makes so much sense.
Yeah, this is not your fault. You're not you don't have to go through life feeling like a victim, but you can take, you need to take care of yourself to help get through this whole
years
mechanism.
Of counseling, right?
Not necessarily. Sometimes things as simple as a new thing called EMDR, where people use the certain eye movement, sort of, they have them watch a light and sort of revivify some of these things, and it's sort of...
Really?
People don't know exactly how it works, and there's some biofeedback techniques. There's a lot of new stuff out there, yeah. So
that works?
That seemed to work, all yeah. Right. Michelle, I know, I was skeptical too. Michelle, 27.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You did take a psychology class at Washington,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, no way.
I took 101.
That's good. Michelle, what's up?
Hi. I just wanted to ask about some symptoms of a fella I've been seeing. He's a great person.
Oh, yeah.
He's 25. He's spent most of his life as a, you know, trained killer in the Army.
Nice.
And
right.
I like him a lot, but he has very little affect.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't really respond to almost anything, and even when we're in bed, he has a completely blank expression and doesn't say anything. And like,
get on your knees, scumbag.
You're like, that's what I was expecting, and I was kind of like up for that in the bedroom, but he doesn't do any of those things, and
right.
He's just very
you were so excited to be commanded.
Disappointed.
I'll be watching you.
Yeah, I am a little disappointed, but I'm more than that. I'm a little concerned that he might be like kind of like emotionally broken on the inside. Like even communicating, I need to draw him out a lot. And so my question is,
he's in the Army?
Yes, he is.
Has he fought?
Yes, he's seen combat in Iraq.
Is he?
Has returned and signed up to go back again.
Does he have trauma or PTSD or any symptoms?
What?
Does he have any post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms or any sort of issues having been in battle?
He mentioned that he did some self-medicating, like drinking and trying, like experimenting with drugs when he came back.
Yeah.
But he's been back for over a year now, and he's been promoted in his position. So he seems okay, but I don't know what those symptoms would be.
Well, being closed emotionally doesn't mean that you're not empathic and doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that you can't have feelings. It just means you're not sort of expressive. You're not able to show them easily. And I would imagine somebody living in the military sort of learns to, or at least even unlearns, to hide things.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything in and of itself. I can understand it'd be a little frustrating and be a little bit sort of, you know, problematic when you're trying to have a relationship.
Does he carry guns?
He has a lot of guns at his house, and like a lot. Like that's something he does in his for free time is go shooting, and he has a lot of porn. Now, is it just that he's 25, or I don't
He just described me to a T.
Joel came in here. He has a gun rack in his car and a trunk full of porn.
Yeah.
And he has hosts a TV show.
Is it normal, Dr. Drew, to have all sorts of
off
porn?
You really want me to talk about that on the air? I just saying. You really want me to talk about that?
Well, when I was in... No, I mean, no, as for her thing, but it's to have a bunch of guns when you're 25 and have a bunch of porn?
Where did he grow up? Michelle.
Yes, what?
Where does he live? Where did he grow up?
She was shot.
He grew up in the Northeast, Massachusetts area.
Oh.
At least it wasn't Seattle, where she's from.
Yeah.
Right, but he lives here now.
Michelle, I can't. What is the specific question you have? What do you want to know?
I guess I have three children, and I'm concerned how long.
Whoa! Why do you have three kids? Whoa!
How old are you?
27.
I'm 27. I started having children. When I was very young. So
why?
I've been through two marriages. What's that?
What's up? We've been through two. Well, now we're questioning him.
Yeah. Now we're like, why is he with
you? And please, don't try to dismiss your behavior as wild and rebellious. This is disturbed behavior.
Well, I was, I had like a reckless, hard life with my family, and so.
Why? What happened? What does that mean?
My dad was like very abusive, and my mom just kind of went along with it. They're like, he's 22 years her senior, and.
Yeah, that's not a reckless life. That is, you're an abuse survivor. You, of course, acted out against that. Sexual acting out is part of what kids do when they've been abused.
Yeah.
And also, people get personality disorders. Have you ever been sort of labeled with borderline personality?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, stop. And so borderlines like to go for sociopaths and narcissists. So yeah. If you're really attracted to this guy, that's the one thing that I find most troubling about him. Now you take that guy that you're attracted to and you add in guns and porn. Now I'm a little more disturbed. Yeah. Just the guns and porn by themselves didn't bother me so much. The quiet thing didn't bother me. But you like him. That now bothers me.
Yeah, I do. I just, yeah. At this point,
now I'm troubled.
Like, how long do I wait? What do I watch for? Because I have my own stuff to watch.
What do you watch for? You
three kids.
You've already described it in the
poor kids. Go ahead, Joel. You help.
I just, have you thought about maybe, I don't know, anything else? I can't even.
Pinochle,
I don't know.
Like something else to amuse herself with besides relationships?
Do your kids go over to his house and look at the guns and porn and stuff?
Of course not. Oh, of course, I've never met him, and I would never, ever possibly subject him to someone, at least, you know, until 6 months, if that was, like, the big green flag. I'm just saying he seems like a young, normal man. You know, he's interested in porn, and he has...
Yeah,
you know,
that's all good.
Safe. I mean,
that's all good. The guns and porn do not bother me. I'm serious. They don't bother
me
as much.
A little bit.
Well, they do in the context of Michelle being into him.
Yeah.
And it's not nothing. It's not zero. You know what I mean? I mean, how long have you been going out with the guy?
We've been seeing like 3 months, seeing each other.
Yeah, 3 months, and
really
she already knows.
To meet me his girlfriend, but I've been giving him kind of the cool loving when it comes.
He's going
to
back
that,
to
like,
Iraq.
Yeah, when's he going to Iraq?
He'll go again probably in November or December.
I'll tell you the one, not green but red flag, is that women that have been abused as you have been tend to look for guys that seem strong and aggressive as a sign of somebody who could protect them, as though that person would protect you against people like your dad, right. When in fact they become your dad. They become the guy who acts out the abuse all over again. So that's the one caveat.
So she should go for someone she's completely unattracted to.
That's it. The borderline should go for somebody that seems like the guy she should be with, even though he's a little bit boring. And if she can evolve feelings for that guy, that's the right guy. But
you
I'm not
get,
telling you what
you
to do with this guy.
You should get your kids to hang out with your kids.
Michelle's kids with my kids?
Yeah, and then that would be great.
That would be great. Then we could bring your... We come over and visit you guys in Glendale.
Yeah, that would
be
yeah.
awesome.
We can go for kebabs.
How do you like working on that show?
It's great. It's really fun because we all... Well, it's a bunch of... I actually really love all the people there, and they're all really good, fun.
Do you get to write some of the stuff?
I do, but most of the writing is done by a really good four or five... we got our head writer and our executive producer, and then four writers, and they're great. And we all have TiVos, and we all watch it. And the show, I mean, they all write awesome jokes, and then I will kind of add...
You come in and things. Watch stuff you've seen during the week? Or
yeah. We're all assigned shows.
Oh, my God.
And
I'm so sorry. That must be the most painful part about the whole thing.
Well, like the head writer, K.P. Anderson, he does get... He starts screaming if he watches more than one episode of Danza in a day. So he has to just stick very religiously to the Danza show once a day.
And yes.
He has to move on. But yeah, then we have a meeting each day where someone will say, I watched Pterodactyls with Coolio in it on the Sci-Fi channel, and I have 18 clips. And then we show different clips of Coolio battling pterodactyls. And that's what we do each day. We just kind of, as each show unfolds, we're very excited about it. Like Roller Girls about to come out from the producers of Laguna Beach. And, of course, Dancing with the Stars 2 is coming out. Oh, and Skating with the Celebrities. We just can't.
That's going to be good.
It's really too much. It's like Thanksgiving every day almost.
TV just, it's resplendent with what it offers you, huh?
It's there's so many.
You're going to have a couple of shows. Soup 1, Soup 2.
We might. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
They just did a British version of it, actually. Which the guy's a lot better looking and is much more well spoken. But
so he'll just kind of move into your job here.
That wouldn't be surprising. Nice. It's really fun to do each week. It's great. And then of course Paris Hilton provides us with the other 30% of our material.
Oh my God, Joel McHale from The Soup. It's a show that I watch regularly with my family. They're all into it.
Yeah,
and we enjoy.
You don't need to watch TV if you watch our show.
No, in fact, it saves me from TV.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It shows me the stuff I would like to and need to see, and
you don't have to watch an entire episode of But Can They Sing?
And makes explicit what I'm thinking.
Yes,
you make explicit my.
That's
thoughts,
our job.
So I appreciate that very much. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number here on Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. I'll be right back with Joel McHale.
Loveline will be right back. Be right back.
Bites, Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm here with the host of The Soup, Joel McHale, also in CSI Miami, Will and Grace, Spider-Man 2, Lords of Dogtown.
Yes.
Nice. Acting. Nice. Acting is your main, is that your main love?
That was why I came here. And
I mean, are you enjoying hosting?
I love it. No, I really do. It's weird now that I have kind of an opinion about things, because before it was just kind of going.
You're a football player.
Yeah, you know,
I've
not usually asked for opinions, if anything. So.
Did you take any crap by your teammates when you decided to go into acting?
No, the kind of most successful I ever was on the team was skit night. So I knew that I maybe should pursue something that they. That was the only time the team actually like stood up and cheered for me.
That's so, gotta be hairy though. I'm playing in, you know, NCAA sports, and
There were guys that were so terrifying to be.
Yeah, I mean, you were across the line from 300-pound guys.
Yeah, there was
and the guys in the secondary that can run
40-yard dashes. Yeah, Napoleon Kaufman was on the team. He ran a 4.22 at one time for a sprint. You know, when we were all doing our PR stuff, and
these are the guys that are going to hit you the second your hand touches the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, where there was one time we had to run because I was so bad that we ran the plays of the offense of the team we were going to play that week, so they would just hold up the plays because they had just watched the film, and so we would show the number one defense what those plays were by running the play at them. Oh. And if the play was successful, if just by our rinky dink squad of seconds and thirds and ninths, as was I was, if it was successful, then they got a little freaked out, so we had to run it again.
Oh.
And
to make sure they just totally nailed
you.
And
there was one play that worked really well the first time, and I got the wind knocked out of me immediately by a guy named Dave Hoffman. Very nice guy, but he hit so hard. And then they had to run the play again, but the wind still had not come back. And he took my head off the second time. And I still had caught the ball, and I didn't even I couldn't remember the last time I had sucked in oxygen. And then they ran it the third time, and can you hear me?
No, they want you to go directly.
Sorry. Then they ran the play a third time, and I just ran the other direction.
You just ran away from him.
And he was looking at me smiling, and he was like, "You're okay this time." If basically saying, "Just run the other way," and I did, and I ran off the field onto stage.
And there you stay.
In acting class.
And we're all the better for it, because now you're the host of The Soup, and we all enjoy it. And
right on.
My family just TiVos the hell out of your show.
Yes.
So. All right, let's go to some calls again. This is Raphael 17. Raphael?
Yeah, hi. My name's Rafa.
Yeah, hi. What's going on?
Yeah, what's your name?
Raphael Flores. You know,
Raphael.
Yeah, the thing is that I've had, a lot of girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good looking, you know?
But right, totally.
The thing is that, I'm not that big, on my penis area.
My penis area?
Yeah, and the
penis area is not that big?
Yeah.
Even the skin around it?
No, it's no, I'm saying it's not big, it's probably 2 inches maybe.
How big are your thighs?
Because I'm in the football team, And it,
right. So do you have enormous thighs from playing football?
Yeah, no, it looks like I'm big. A lot of girls tell me, you look pretty big, but I'm not, though,
Well,
we're listening.
I think you should maybe join the cross country team. That way, your thigh is going to get a lot thinner, but they'll still be very muscular and long
penis
muscle.
Will look bigger.
It's going to look huge.
You have a 2-inch penis. That's not erect, right?
No, when you see regular, it's probably 3.5 maybe. But the thing is that I have girlfriends, but I eat them out, right? And I do stuff with them, but I could never. I don't want to have sex because of that reason, because I probably will laugh at me or something.
Did someone actually say something?
One girl broke up with me because of that.
She didn't, no,
spread around. She did. I was denying it, But and some people think I'm gay, but I don't I prefer for them to think I'm gay instead of them thinking I have a small dick,
All right, here's the deal. How tall are you?
Oh, I'm probably 6 feet.
Do you have normal hair distribution? Do you have sort of hair growing where it's supposed to grow?
Yeah, I'm normal. I'm normal and everything, but just not that. That sucks. Right.
It's a sledgehammer.
Let's assume, Raphael, that's going to grow in the next couple years, okay? Give yourself about 4 years to sort of finish up.
How old is he?
17.
Oh, man.
And in the meantime, let's assume that this is God's way of protecting you against being too sexually active, because you're such a good-looking guy and you attract all these girls. This may end up being a blessing, a mitzvah, as Joel's people say.
I like your bangs.
Yeah, the Norwegians say that.
In the long run. And Pedro agrees with that, interestingly. But I you know, yes, it's gotta be a little bit disconcerting. I will tell you what, though. In almost every situation that I've dealt with a young man who's preoccupied with his penis size, the penis something size else. Actually ends up being normal. When they actually measure, it ends up being like 5.5, something like that. And about 80% of men are in that sort of 5 to 7 range. And that's normal. And it's not 3.5. It's probably 5. So go ahead and measure and realize if you're over 5, you're normal. And it ends up being much more about their self-esteem and self-worth and focus on the things that sort of make you feel good about yourself rather than your size of your phallus, which most women don't really care about. Because the reality is most of the complaints I get on this show is not about too small, but too big.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a complaint Joel hears all the time.
I'm
too
sure,
big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I hear
football
it.
Player.
Yeah.
Huskies. Yeah.
Exactly. Is he still on?
Yeah, we have to go to another break.
All right, go to another break.
Is that all right?
I was just wondering if he was in the shower and does he do that comparing thing?
Do you shower with other men, males? Oh, he's gone. Wait a minute.
He's terrified.
I don't see him. Yeah, he's gone.
All right, well.
Here he is. I'm big with him. Rafael, do you shower with other guys?
Oh, yeah. There's the whole team's there, you know? And they don't
notice?
Have they ever said anything?
Well, yeah. They joke around, like, hey, they come, like, hey, what's up, little peck? I'm like, just calm down, you know? And I guess.
Okay. All right. With that. Little peck. Very quaint. Quite.
You have a small penis, you fag.
All right, we got to go to breaks. 1-800-LOVE-191. Love line. No, we did. Give him 4 years to men keep growing until they're 21. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Love Line. I'm sitting here with Joel McHale eating pink pistachios sent to me by Scott McKeeve.
Thanks,
Scott. Tell where he's from. Oh, he's from, I can't tell where he came in from. But he heard us talking in the air about how we just can't find pink pistachios anymore. So partake. I mean, enjoy.
Maybe they were dangerous and they stopped them.
And so we just eat them tonight and then see what happens?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Very curious about what my movements will. I'm sorry.
Joel is hosting the soup. He is good friends and fans of Whitney and Bobby Brown's.
Yes. Danny Bonaducci, we love.
Bonaducci.
I heard him on here, and I think I was telling you, he seemed way more reasonable on the
radio. Saw him in his decompensated state when the cameras kept rolling.
Man, he was a clip machine.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
Oh.
Who else? What other good stuff out there? The Godmom.
The Godmom. Wife swap and trading spouses always yields something, usually. But there's a little show out of Dallas called Cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
That's a syndicated show that's not on everywhere, but it is really low budget.
Huh.
And it's just people who think they're being cheated upon. And then this production company goes out and shoots video of their partner usually cheating. And then they will
show it.
Then they'll show the person and they'll get incredibly angry. And then they will confront them. They'll sneak around and wait till they're together. And then they will, with the crew and with the other half, they will surprise them. And it usually ends up being a fist fight. And it's pretty dang great.
But fist fight is between...
Usually the fist fight is the person who had called cheaters to help them.
Oh.
They will attack the lover of their boyfriend or girlfriend or husband and wife. And it is awesome.
Hey, do you think that's real, though, Joel?
Well, that is the weird thing about that show. Sometimes
I think it's fake.
You think it's all fake?
I think they had a great idea to take Jerry Springer to the streets, pretty much.
Yeah, see, but I think sometimes... So I think at some point it maybe stops. We watched it and we saw a couple people smiling a couple times. But then I don't know how you can get yokels to do what they do every time.
And then I saw a Mexican version of it, which is even better. And it's
way bigger budget.
From Mexico
fake?
I think it's shot here. I think it's shot here or near here because they have helicopters and all sorts of stuff.
It's the funniest thing. I watched it at the gym and fell off the machine I was on. I was laughing.
It is awesome. But there's some people, when you look at the testimonials of some of the people on Cheaters, I just don't know how they can fake it. But I don't know. So sometimes we have at times cut clips because we thought, oh, it looks a little staged. But you know, not nearly as staged as Laguna Beach. Which I'm sure your kids must love.
My wife grew up in Newport. I sort of grew up in Laguna Beach.
Oh,
so
nice.
We just like looking at the footage of all that. Someday, can we please get down there again?
I love that show because they'll preview what, you know, Jason will be breaking up with someone. So then to start the breakup, they will have a close-up of the cordless phone. Then the phone rings. Then you cut to a tracking shot of the girl walking up to the phone. Then you cut to a wide shot in front of the house of the girl walking out with the phone. It's just all so...
You know, our producer here, his brother-in-law, shoots that show. And he says that they just run around chasing these kids around while they go through their life.
Ha!
And then they add in all those production elements. They add in all that stuff.
But the way they talk, just like, I just can't believe you're doing this to me. It just seems like they're being fed lines or something.
Well, most reality shows, right? I mean, do that again. Would you mind? Hold on a second.
Yeah, would you mind? I didn't quite get that.
Just check that. Do that again, right?
Yeah,
just
say except the same for Godmom, thing. Who...
Who delivered, just delivered spontaneously.
Yes.
She won. Warrior!
Yeah.
Well, here, one more.
Won an Oscar. One more.
Come on, Anderson.
Oh.
I just loaded them in. You got to give me a second here.
we're giving you a second. Come
Isn't
on.
Is there a website that has them all?
All right, Joel McHale.
She's not a Christian!
Oh, my God. It's just blood curdling, right?
They should have a whole show where she's canceled. Yes, oh, the other one we love is. We love Pat O'Brien. And the Dr. Phil show, where he and Pat O'Brien sat and listened to his phone calls that were posted on the internet, was awesome.
You liked that one.
Oh.
And Phil stuff, too. I mean, you guys zeroed on that pretty nicely.
Yeah. Do you like Dr. Phil?
I don't dislike him. I worry.
He hates him, Joel.
No, I don't hate him. And I think he makes good television. It just worries me when people with sort of... limited training, present themselves as experts in all kinds of things, and it's sort of little troubling.
Yeah, that's the kind of feeling we get. I have a fear that he'll kind of come to E and try to kill me at some point if we keep.
I think you're pretty kind to him.
Well, thank you. Sometimes,
actually, you're pretty kind. You're pretty even-handed. I mean, you only show what people give you.
We try to not just be jerks and sarcastic. We try to go. Here's what happened.
This is what our blowout. What's that?
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Anton. Yeah. Oh, he's the greatest. I hope it's coming back.
You know what we need to do is do a show like an actor's studio with you, with each of these people.
Just for talking
like
to
20
him.
Minutes
Jonathan,
at a time.
Jonathan, when you were washing your hair with mineral water out of the bottle of water, oh, that guy was great.
Yeah.
And he kept my every show. He's like, so great. I dated so many women. And that girl loves me. Just constantly reinforce. And I wouldn't blame if I owned a salon, too.
You'd be compensating for, I'm not gay.
I'd have it on my card. In fact, that would be the name of the
Joel
salon.
Joel McHale, not gay. Wait, actually, let's go to the not gay topic for you. You're married. How long have you been married?
It will be 10 years this summer.
Wow.
We got married young. We met on the set of the lowest budget movie in Seattle history.
See if I got the name of it here.
No, it's not
time?
There. It's
Wait.
Not there. No. It was some time. And her mom was an extra and her brother was a production assistant. And I knew of her from college. And she...
She wouldn't have anything to do with you.
Well, no. I was like 3 years younger than her. And it was very sly how I kind of worked myself.
Is she also from Seattle?
She's from Seattle.
That's nice.
So it worked out great. So when we just got back from vacation, and it's nuts because there's two
families,
and it's crazy.
Does she work out here? Or?
She now is a full-time mom.
And you guys waited a while to have a child.
We waited a long time because either we would look at each other and be like, do you? No, I don't either. Okay. And then all of a sudden one day we're like, we need now.
It's time.
We need them. Let's get it. And so she was a graphic designer and a interior designer and still does it on the side, but is raising him now. And I'm sure we'll go back at some point.
He's 11 months now?
11 months old.
And at 2 months, something happened.
Yeah, he had open heart surgery.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Ventricular septal defect, we call it.
Yeah, it was if you had to have it, he had the best kind of heart surgery.
Right.
Which
it's just a patch they throw in there usually.
Yeah. Either his own skin or, and I'm not kidding, Gore-Tex.
Right.
And
what is a hole between the two big chambers in the heart, the two ventricles get a little hole. And sometimes that seals up by itself. But sometimes it's big enough that basically the unoxygenated blood mixes.
Like our
Loveline listeners are very interested in this. But unoxygenated blood mixes with the oxygenated blood, and so you can never get fully oxygenated.
Yeah.
And it changes the pressures, and then it screws up the way your heart works, basically. Now, usually with those VSDs, their vessel abnormalities too. So the outflows of the heart get screwed up and things.
Right.
So they have to repair all that. But you didn't have any of that.
Didn't have any of that, thank God. And with heart surgery, as you know, some kids need multiple surgeries and their lives are deeply affected for their lives are shortened. But it's great, and we feel so blessed that he's totally normal now. We're in the hospital. When you're in the children's hospital, you see all these kids that have like bowel transplants, and this one little girl had a heart transplant. She was three, and they're like, "Yeah, we were hoping that our kid would have what your kid had." And then you realize, you know, just how lucky you are. And it was crazy.
Yeah,
it was. Crazy.
Had a baby had a brain surgery at one. I was like, oh, can't even talk about that. So
when you're going through it, you don't even really. I mean, when I was going through it, it was like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah,
okay.
My head gets in it, and I start thinking of the worst-case scenario.
Yes.
You kind of know what can happen. I just, freak out. Melissa, 27.
Yes.
What's going on? You're on with Joel McHale.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm a big fan. And actually used to work with my brother-in-law at Unexpected Productions in Seattle.
What's that? What is that? Is that a porn company or something?
Yeah, it's a porn company. It was an improvising theater of improvisers where we would go up on stage and goof around. It's a pretty big improv theater up there.
Yeah, and
who's your brother-in-law?
Ron Hippie.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, wow. Hey, look at that.
Small world.
Small world. But I also know E, and I love The Soup, and I just see on TV from time to time, and I just say, gosh, that's great. You have a huge fan base in Seattle, and I'm actually in San Diego, and just called to say I love you.
Oh, well, I love you
and
deeply.
The fact you only watch from time to time, I find sort of disturbing. Why don't you watch more regularly?
Huge fan, time to time, when I remember once in a while.
No,
the TV's left on
a little bit and stuff, but whenever I watch,
it's not on outside of San Diego, Melissa. Come on now.
Were you traveling to Asia or something where it's not on?
It's on in Hong Kong, though. I was in Thailand a few months ago.
Did you see it?
I'll give you a bye. But
right
thank you for calling.
Thanks, Melissa.
Anything else up, Melissa?
What's that? No,
you okay otherwise?
Nope.
Okay. Say hello to Ron.
All right, take care.
Okay, we'll do. Bye.
Okay, let's talk to Ryan, 15. Ryan?
Hey, what's up?
Good. What's going on there?
What's going on, man?
I was talking to this girl on something called MySpace. Like, everyone's heard of it.
Everyone's heard of MySpace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this girl that I've been talking to for a while. And she talks like she likes me. She comments my pictures, like, that I guess I'm cute and stuff. And I've wanted to meet her for a while. And whenever I get a chance to, she seems to always be busy or something.
Yeah, because she may be one of your buddies from high school.
Hey, can we talk to him like he's talking to us?
Yes, you can talk to him like that. So,
Ryan, when you're talking to her, like, what's she busy doing?
Oh, sorry, I'm trying to be quiet. I'm not supposed to be on the phone at night.
Okay, we'll be quiet.
But, it's like whenever I get a chance to meet her, she's never available.
Because it's probably a guy. It's probably
a girl. I know.
8-year-old. Look, how do you know, Ryan? You don't know.
Because my friend knows her. My friend Julie, she knows her.
Oh, Julie knows her?
Oh, of course. Oh, well, if Julie knows her, then of course.
How did that come up?
Well, I met her through Julie's MySpace and started talking to her, and she's really nice and gorgeous girl. But
yeah, well, Julie.
Do you have that Who Cares drop, Anderson?
I don't know if she's trying to.
Anderson, what's going on?
I'm a little hungover still, man.
I can tell. My God,
I'm looking for
asleep.
Remedies on the internet right now.
Please, give us the Who Cares.
The best remedy I found was not to drink.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Who cares?
Yay.
Ryan, here's the deal. You cannot rely upon anything that you learn, do, interact with, figure you might be able to do based on what happens on the internet. It's good. It's fine you talk to her. It may not even be her. Maybe somebody pretending to be her. Who knows? But there's one thing for sure. Whoever you're talking to is giving you a very clear message. If that person wanted to meet you, they'd be there.
Yeah, meet someone at school.
Yeah, a real person. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Mallory, 19. Mallory?
Yeah?
What's going on? You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. My best friend's girlfriend really wants to date me.
Yeah.
Best friend's girlfriend. So you're gay?
I'm bi.
You're bi. Keep going.
But my best friend's girlfriend really wants to date me, and I don't know what to do about it because I've been friends with Mark for like 17 years.
Oh, Mark.
Almost.
Friends with Mark for that 17 right. years. So.
What's Mark doing?
What do you mean?
So you're bi, and she wants you, or he wants you to date her? What?
No, she wants to date me. He doesn't know about it.
Oh, well, then why don't you alert him to the fact that his girlfriend's a cheater?
Okay.
Okay, and why don't you not destroy his relationship?
Yeah.
When you get, if it's already in jeopardy, which it clearly is, let them work that out. You don't want to be part of the chaos. And what is it, Mallory, that would attract you to that kind of chaos?
I don't know. I've known her forever, you know.
No. Why do you need to be in the middle of drama and chaos?
Well, I've known them forever.
Why do you need to be in the middle of drama and chaos? Forget this relationship.
She's a good friend.
She answered.
Can't, yeah, it's not an answer.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you don't need to be in drama and chaos, then let's stay out of it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Stay out of it.
All right. This is now.
That was awesome.
Glory is fortune.
Hi. I have a comment. I'm bisexual, and I know a couple nights ago, a girl around my age called in, and she was bi, and you said it was, like, ridiculous for
her being
that young.
And no, it says ridiculous. I said that you don't need to declare a major.
Okay.
And that for there to be confusion about sexual identity. Sexual identity takes several years to sort of mature and solidify, let's say. And at 14, you can be all over the place.
Yeah,
and to sort of declare a major at 14, that's the mistake.
Yeah.
I decided that I was bi last year.
Well, it's not something you decide, Gloria. So that bi already, you've sort of proven my point. It's something that you
could have a minor in bi.
Yeah, you don't decide about that. You don't.
No,
it's not a decision.
It's not that I decide. I am attracted to girls and guys.
Right, and at 14, that can be quite routine. That's a very common symptom. That doesn't mean you're always going to be like that. So what I'm saying is, at 14, don't act on these things. There's lots of interesting and confusing and potentially sort of chaotic, dramatic feelings that you have, just like that last caller we had. They're not healthy to act on. In fact, most research suggests that your brain really isn't developed to handle a lot of this stuff until you're about 16. That's just the way it is.
Right.
I don't make those rules. That's just the way it is.
And so taking ecstasy around 14
also not
really
a good idea. Also not a good idea. Let's see. This is Jade, 15.
Hello?
Hey, Jade, what's going on?
Oh, my God. Okay. My God. Okay, so
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. basically, I got a hickey, my first one, and I was wondering, is there any potential harm that can happen if, there is excessive biting and sucking and, like, gets really bad to the point where I can't really turn my neck because it hurts so bad?
Well, let's just sort of flip that around. Let's say he was using a knife or his claws or something. Yeah, I'd put that in the problematic category.
When I was on the football team, I got a hickey on the field that I had to have lanced.
Caused
eventually.
By a fist.
Yeah, it was caused by a huge guy punching me in the neck. And is this serious?
Jade sounds like she means it.
Jade, really?
Yeah, this is a serious question.
Well, just stand back and ask any question like that and take the word hickey out of it.
Like
somebody
does
something to me until my neck hurts and I can't turn it. Is that a good thing?
I guess not, but, I don't know what the technical word for it is, so I...
Well, tentacles, hematoma or trauma or contusion of the muscle.
Are you wearing... Let's talk about turtlenecks.
Oh,
What are you wearing to cover it? A scarf, turtleneck, a scarf?
Yeah.
And by the way, why does this guy need to
do
this?
Are you a brownie?
My what?
Sorry, or a sort of a blue jay? I can't remember that.
Why does this guy need to do this to you?
Oh, no, it's because, we were just, flowing around and whatever.
And by the way, biting, human mouth has got horrible bacteria, and if they can bite you,
it wasn't, like, hard biting to where it was, like, cutting or anything. Oh, wait, hold on. I think my brother's listening in the other room. Oh, my God, this isn't...
What's his name?
His name is Chris. If you say his name right now, he'll probably start, just cracking up.
Let's go yell at him, Jade.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
Gosh. How do you do it every night, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, how do you do it?
What's up there, Joel? You get a little disparaged about all this?
No, it's pretty.
You leave your little
Glendale,
your little.
When I would listen to the show, I would enjoy the show. I'd be washing dishes or something, and I would laugh. But then the actual reality of taking the calls is really dramatic.
Yes, it is. About that,
you really are a saint.
Thank you, Richard. 18.
Hey guys, I listen to your show all the time.
Thanks, Joel. Joel McHale from The Soup.
You know what that is?
Where's Adam Carolla?
He's not here. He picks up
Joel. I'm sorry, Joel.
No, I don't blame you.
He picks up for Howard Stern in the morning.
Okay, well, anyway, my question is this. I know you guys have been getting a lot of questions about relationships and everything like that. See, the thing is, I'm 18, and I'm about to be 19 in March. And, well, my problem is that, in my entire life, I've never had a girlfriend, and I've never been, I've never been good with the opposite sex. And,
what do you mean? What do you mean good?
I shy away. I'm very timid by girls. I want to like get to know a girl, and you know, all my friends have girlfriends, and you know, they kind of, again, I'm the oldest, and they kind of make fun of me because like I don't have anyone, you know, to be, you know, I don't know, central with.
Your parents should be counting their blessings.
No, but the problem is, well, I'm glad you mentioned the parents. The problem is my mom's noticed that, I have a girl problem, and she's very, very worried because she thinks that because I'm very inexperienced with, you know, girls, she, you know, kind of gets on my case about, you know, how come you don't try to find a girl, or how come, you know, all your friends have no problem doing it. Why are you?
Like I said, I mean, it's one thing for her to say, can I help you with this? But for quite another matter for her to sort of denigrate you and to sort of cut you down because of it.
Yeah, I know. And it's really depressed me a little. And just sometimes.
She should be counting her blessing. This is protecting you. You want to know why you should wait? Listen to this show for half an hour. You'll hear a million reasons why you should take your time.
Yeah, I know that. But I feel that, you know, I missed out. You know, I mean, because as a teenager, you know, I didn't graduate high school. So, you know, I missed out on proms. I missed out on first crushes.
Why didn't you graduate high school?
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm a dumbass, but anyway, you know, and she, you know, comes to me and she tells me, you know, what's the matter with you? Are you afraid to, you know, act out or what? You know, because I always hide myself.
Is she fearful you're gay?
I am not gay. I can.
Is she fearful of that?
No, I am not gay at all.
No, is she fearful?
She confronted me about it one time, but I assured her that I am not gay. I'm not gay at all. I'm just a straight guy who just can't seem to, you know, cope with girls nowadays.
All right, what's your question? What can we do to help you tonight?
Well, my question is, you know, I mean, you know, can you give me any advice on how...
Yes, you're going to be fine. Just slow down, relax.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, get involved in theater.
Yeah, get involved in theater. Then no one will think you're gay.
But there are lots of good-looking women in theater, right? I mean, get involved in activities where there are other people you're going to meet. You're going to be focused on a common project.
Get into a musical. Some sort. I would go to Broadway, possibly.
Music Man, especially.
Start taking dance lessons. No one will think you're gay. Be yourself and don't worry about it so much.
Yes, thank you. Rita, 30.
Hi. I have a question about my boyfriend's penis.
Yep.
Totally.
Well, it's like, when it's not erect, it's like inside his body, and mm-hmm. the only thing that hangs out is his foreskin. But when he's erect, it's normal.
That means you're dating a lemur, I think, right? Because it goes up inside the body?
I don't know.
Is lemurs, is lemurs gonna
does
be?
He is he only active at night? Sorry.
How is he, like, a heavy man?
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Not very heavy. He's about...
How many pounds?
250 to 60.
How tall is he?
5'8".
That puts him as very heavy.
Yeah. He's got a retractable because it retracts in between the fat.
It's not even retracting. It's just the fat comes out around it.
Yeah.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
It's inside. I mean, the only thing that comes out is the foreskin.
No, but you got to understand, he's got so much fat down there.
You're saying that he's smooth when he's not?
There's nothing.
No.
I mean,
so if he were to wax it, he would look like a doll? He would look like a fat doll?
No, I mean... I mean,
I don't know.
This happens to heavy guys. The penis just goes inside because all the fat comes out around it. This, you know, the fact that he has a normal-sized penis when erect is a good thing. Having all that excess fat tissue around obviously sort of
makes it seem
like it's going in the wrong direction because it's just sort of just take
he
any
has
penis
an illusionist and, penis and
right,
she is being
it's
tricked
the magic
by it.
Just like the parade today the rose
as,
parade.
You know what he should if he goes for a jog I don't know every day for 4 months you will see it not retract anymore.
That could be the case. And all that fat tissue creates lots of estrogen, and so his penis may even get larger or at least change its function or his arousal, his sort of desire for sex may change if he drops off some of that fat and he
that's
may live
why,
quite a bit
that's
longer.
That's why marathon runners use that third leg when they're really tired.
That's how
I'm sorry.
It's good. Are you a marathon runner?
Yeah. Hey,
that's why you keep bringing that up.
See?
I wonder what that was.
There
I'm like, wait a minute, marathon runner.
Put it in there.
Now, isn't marathon, when you do that heavy training, like marathon training, the cross-country training, your sex drive goes down.
Yeah, you don't want to do anything.
Right. And like football training goes up. All that aggression and the sort of rapid, the sort of sprint kind of training.
Well, I didn't really have, I was in so much fear most of the time of being killed that there was a lot of, I was fight or flight almost every day.
Did you go to Washington with the intent to play football?
No, I was a rower when I got to Washington. It's crazy.
How did football happen?
I was in a fraternity for a short period of time with a bunch of football players. And I was at that point about 230 pounds. And so they said.
You're tall. You must be about 6'3" or?
Yes, 6'4". Yeah, right around there. Mm-hmm. And then I gained even more weight and for football.
Steroids?
And, no.
Oh.
Horse
no?
tranquilizers.
No, okay.
And so I was just very large and. It was a great. I really set up a lot of guys well. I made them look great when they just murdered me on the field.
Nice. Joel McHale, the host of Soup, the Soup rather on E.
Yep.
Its official time is Friday at 10. It's on a million of the times.
Who cares?
I do. I like that show.
I just
Spider-Man
finally got
2.
That one. Sorry.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Great.
Well, timely, I must say. Anything else coming up for you in terms of television appearances?
I'm going to make a short appearance on the People's Choice Awards at this point, yeah.
You're introducing somebody? Or
I'm doing a little thing for the sponsor.
No, you can't say anything about it?
Well, it's in the works right now.
I see. Got it. And Craig Ferguson, I'm on Craig Ferguson's show tonight, in fact.
Are you really?
Have you ever worked with him?
No.
He's a great guy.
Is he? He is so smooth. I am not joking.
Listen, that guy is, that's all natural horsepower.
Really?
That what you're seeing is just him. Ah. Yeah, it's very impressive. So anyway, we'll be back in just a second with 1-800-LOVE-191. More Love Line with Joel McHale.
Yep, Love Line will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Love Line will be right back.
All right, it's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale, the host of The Soup. I don't know why I have trouble spitting that out. It's on E. I suggest you check it out.
Please.
My family loves the show. We watch it all the time. And we particularly watch the year-end countdown.
Yeah.
Just on recently, I guess. We had it on TiVo.
Yeah. And, we had so many clips to choose from.
And it was a lot of good stuff. We watched Tyra go on her Tyra raid.
Terrific.
And most importantly, though, we were particularly and sort of poignantly impressed with Whitney Houston's Kiss My Ass.
Yeah. Well, you can't top it. I mean, you can't get any. That's like the pinnacle of television.
It really, it is. And it sort of summarizes everything about her and that relationship and the show. It's all summarized in one brief outburst. Kiss
and
My Ass.
What's so nice, and it's true about that, we love that show, but they really do, with all this going on in their lives, Bobby and Whitney really do love each other.
Yeah.
And that's so clear that comes through. So
yeah, they do.
There's a playful thing, whereas when we watched Bonaducci, we were thought, he's going to break in. So he's going to not even lock my doors and lock my liquor cabinet or something because something dangerous is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that was the big difference between those shows. I mean, we loved Bonaducci, and he's going to probably kill me, but we loved watching his show too. But Whitney and Bobby, man, they just, and her voice. And then the other thing, like you'd be watching the show, and they would be eating for 2 hours somewhere, and she'll be talking about taking a dump, and she'll call her personal assistant and tell her that. And then there'll be like a piano in the foyer, and then someone will be playing, and she'll sing, like, gorgeously, and then just move on.
Could you go back to, I don't know if you remember, you guys played, yeah, I think you, yes.
Oh, dropping yeah. it on the one?
No. In fact, I'll always remember this moment where Bobby talked about digging out stool.
Yes.
Digging out stool from Whitney during a constipation episode, yeah. And you just standing looking at the camera like, oh.
How did it come to it? What? Yeah.
Yeah. He was on this show and brought that up with him, and he said, yeah, well, what are you going to do? She's constipated.
What are you going to do? Not talk about it on television.
Well, she brought it up or something. And he had
that,
excuses.
Yeah, that was great. That was the first episode.
I know.
First or second episode.
That was my favorite moment in 2005.
Yeah, that's when we all looked around and said, it's gold. Pure gold.
Anton, 21.
Dr. Drew, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. All right, I got a big problem, Dr. Drew. I need your help, man.
My bogosity senses are up, but let's hear.
Okay, check it out. I hooked up with a chick about a month ago that I've known for about maybe 8 months or so. Totally hot, gorgeous chick. Bomb blonde. We're hooking up.
You're not helping me feel more comfortable. Just get right to the question.
Okay, I basically could not get hard for whatever reason.
All right.
And I put it aside, even though I felt like an ass, whatever. So I didn't talk to her, whatever. I haven't hung out with her again. And then just this past weekend, I hooked up with another chick, and it happened again. Now, it hasn't really been a problem in the past. I mean, I've had a girlfriend, whatever, in the past, and it's never really been a problem. But now, since it's happened twice, and it just happened tonight again.
Was there anything else where you're sort of, were you putting a condom on, or did you have a condom on or anything like that that contributed to this?
No, but okay. The first time she wasn't
what were you, why wasn't there a condom involved, number one? But number two, once a guy has an episode like this, it tends to kind of get in deep. And it affects his confidence. And so he's sort of, even if he's not directly thinking or anxious about it potentially happening again, that's just there. They get a little freaked out. So you need to kind of, the best way to deal with this is actually get in a relationship where you can kind of work it out and it'll go away.
Go out with a dude one night and see, I'm sorry.
You're gross.
I'm so, just kidding.
No. What's the name of that show again you do? Pete, 22.
Hey, what's up, Drew? Dr. Drew, what's up?
Pete, what's happening, buddy?
Well, actually, my question is, I was diagnosed with epilepsy in August of 2003.
Yeah.
And 2004. And I was put on Dilantin. Uh-huh. And ever since I started taking Dilantin, I felt like my sexual appetite went down, like, or to the point where like I'm not turned out by anybody, you know, like nobody turns me on.
Yep.
And I went online and I look up, you know, Dilantin and, you know, see if it causes, you know, erectile dysfunction. And it says that there's been cases where, you know, it's true. I asked my doctor.
Well, you're not having erectile dysfunction. You're having decreased libido. And if you look on the medication side effects, sort of under general or sort of constitutional side effects, almost every medicine can affect sex drive. Okay. Almost everyone. So there's no doubt that it has that potential.
Okay, so because she said no, that there's no way that there, she was like,
no,
if I wanted
it's not there's no
or something.
No, it's not that there's no way. It probably doesn't. You may want to see a neurologist. Maybe there are other seizure medications that could be a little.
I am.
Why is that?
Why do so many
drugs do that?
I don't know that I can answer that in any kind of really scientific way, except to say that, you know, you're messing with your overall biology. And just like if you were sick or if there any sort of anything else, that's sort of the first thing your body does to kind of restore itself, protect itself. And, you know, medication does a lot it can make you almost any medicine can make you depressed. Almost any medicine can give you anxiety. And that whole functioning of our brain as it pertains to our sexual drive is a very primitive system that can be, for whatever reason, upset, disturbed.
That's, all right, I'll never take drugs again then. Thanks.
Well, medication, see. Not even just drugs, but medication. Travis, 17.
Yeah. I have a question about speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I smoke speed or whatever, does it, like, have anything to do with, like, sexual things? So, like, if I'm with my girlfriend and I'm...
Well, let's put it this way, Travis. If I had just finished saying that any medication could potentially affect your sex drive, what do you think about smoking speed? I think that might be in there
Did
somewhere.
You read the warning label on the side?
Yeah, just
of
read the, package insert. It talks about erectile dysfunction and libido problems.
Because, like, it worked perfect, like, the first time. Like, I had sex with her once for, like, maybe 30, 45 minutes, and then I tried to get it up again, like, 10 minutes later, and it wouldn't work.
Weird.
So I was like...
All right, Travis. Travis, Anderson, you get that? Travis just laid down a big F-bomb for us.
Thanks, man.
So appreciate it, Travis. Thanks for the call. Yeah, speed can affect all kinds of things. It is one of the drugs, particularly when you're smoking, that causes brain damage. And at 17, if you're smoking speed, you need treatment.
That's a really serious way to be taking it.
That's really bad times. And not only that, but boy, if your only concern is how it affects your penis function, that really concerns me. This is
I'm concerned because he's probably out in the streets driving. And I'm probably driving at the same time.
Diana, 22.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on there?
Not much. I need to know how to perform oral sex, or rather, I would like to.
Something you've ever done before?
Are you getting ready for something?
Sorry? Okay.
Are you getting ready for a
competition?
No, there's no big event.
Pageant?
I wish. No, not really.
It's just one of those, like, you want to learn Italian or something like that?
No, I actually don't want to learn Italian. Not that useful. It's just, I'm 22 years old. I haven't had vaginal intercourse, and I'm with my first sexual partner. But I kind of would like to be able to pleasure him, and I've tried a few times, and it's just, hasn't worked. Like, he hasn't orgasmed through oral sex or, like...
Well, some guys don't. And no matter what you do, it ain't gonna happen.
Because I kind of wanted to figure this out before we moved it to another level.
What level?
I, you know, the big vaginal intercourse.
That's probably what he's sort of hoping you move it to, and figuring it out in the oral sex is not gonna make him happier.
Oh, okay.
Men will tell you if there's a problem, if there's something they like more or differently. They're very clear. They have their sweet spot, and they're going to let you know. Some guys, oral sex is not a big thing for them. And some guys have difficulty having orgasm with oral sex. A lot of guys, it's the best thing, and they have no difficulty with it. And they'll tell you. They'll let you know. There's almost no way you can ruin it.
But when he pleasures himself, like when he's masturbating, he can totally reach an orgasm. Like
yes,
that.
It has nothing to do with you and oral sex.
Nothing at all.
So there's nothing I can do.
I'm not saying that.
Can you recommend a book or something?
No, you ask.
I don't know. Is there a website you could recommend?
No, Diana, you've got this. Wait. You're all off base with this. You go to your boyfriend. You go, is there something more I can be doing here? What do you like? That's it. He is the source.
He's with you, and he wants to spend time with you.
There's not some magic tips for this. Really, there are not.
Oh, okay.
Except and you should get some magic tips.
And here's the thing we used to always say, is that it's all, listen, oral sex, it's all for men. It's all pizza. You can only F it up. Just a little, you know, just.
With pear.
Yeah, pear or pineapple.
Dessert pizza.
Yeah. You just put some pepperoni, a little thin crust, you know, just don't F it up, and that's it. And he'll tell you what he likes, and that's what he likes.
I mean,
that's
it. He tries to give me direction, and it's like, he looks like he's getting there, but he never gets there. Like,
he may be one of those guys. There's a certain percentage of those guys that just don't with oral sex. They just don't.
Does that mean that sex is, like, regular sex is going to be weird, or is there going
to be... No, that means that's what he really likes, and he may even be quick with that.
Oh, I don't know. That would suck for me. But he hasn't had that, like, intercourse with anyone either.
Oh, that's fine.
We're a big wad of virgins.
A big wad of virgins.
You're a virgin wad?
Yeah, exactly.
How disturbing.
Sorry.
Like you've wrapped yourself.
The wad
like
part. The wad part is what we find disturbing, not the virgin part.
Okay.
Just
relax.
Well,
I can think of another way to call it.
No, very poetic. Very lovely. Very,
so great.
Diana, listen. Don't overthink this stuff. Do not overthink it. The fact that he's already overjoyed. This wad of virgin you're with.
Yeah,
he is ecstatic. Okay.
I promise. Such a nerd.
I promise you, he's ecstatic.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to virginwad.com for tips.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Then we can blow our virgin wads together.
Diana, where'd you go to finishing school? You're all class.
Yeah.
All right, I'm hanging up on the end. Joel McHale is here with us tonight. Yeah. We got to take another break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. He hosts The Soup. I recommend it highly.
On E.
On E. And we'll be right back.
Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We just got a few more minutes. Go right to the phone with Julian, 14. Julian.
Hey, I just had a question for Joel, if he had ever found out where Climateek was taking her.
It is still a gigantic mystery.
What is this?
Well, there's a wonderful product for women called Climateek.
Yes.
I'm sure you've come across this in your in the medical field. But it says that it will take her somewhere.
It's got Climax right in the name.
Well,
Climateek.
They don't get that specific about it.
So it's taking her like to France.
Gets her there faster and more conveniently.
What is more convenient? What is it?
It's a cream of some sort. I believe it's a cream.
Enhancement cream, kind of, or is it like facial cream?
Still very vague on where it goes or whether how it's taken. But Julian, it is a mystery, and I'm really glad that you're still on top of it.
And speaking of, we got a bunch of little show references here, but I want to bring one up on my own. Where's that dog come from?
Oh, that's our executive producer.
It's not your dog.
No, it's Ed Boyd. It's his dog, and it is the most amazing chihuahua.
It's a chihuahua. Right?
That dog can be across the room. And you can go sit, and it will sit and just stay
smart
there.
Chihuahua. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, Allie, 23. Another question for Joel. Yeah.
Hi, how are you guys doing? I'm a big fan of both of you guys, and I'm very excited to turn on my radio tonight and hear the two of you together.
Oh,
Joel's a good guy.
Dr. Drew, I like to pretend like not really pretend like I'm a doctor, but, you know, expel your advice.
You don't actually break the law, but you come near.
Okay. No, I only play a doctor on TV. I'm not a real one, and I let people know.
Excellent.
Anyhow, Joel, I have a question for you. I was wondering, why aren't there any credits on the end of your show?
It just ends. Pow.
It's kind of like Climateek. We're not really sure why. E kind of figured out that people were tuning out of television shows when their credits were running, so they decided to just eliminate credits and just flow right into the next show. There actually are
credits.
It screws
up the Tebow thing, though, because I missed your last comments because of that.
Yeah, you have to put the extra minute on either side. It's crazy that people actually turn off the TV when shows are over.
Mm-hmm.
And E would like to keep you there to watch.
But how about the thing they do now where they have the credits running a little window to the side?
Yeah, they flutter by. They flicker.
Yeah.
And they go into that next show that I have absolutely no interest in watching.
Yeah, they should have a credit show at about half an hour every morning where they just list
the
credits.
Well, for your show, at least, you know? It's like one of the
They actually do go by very quickly right at the beginning, and then they have to mention who what clothes I'm wearing because we don't pay for those the time.
Yes, all the time.
So those actually get more air, but as they should because, I like the free clothes.
Cool. Kyle, 11. Kyle, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Joel, you're one of my favorite comedians.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, and I've actually just started listening to Loveline a couple months ago because I just moved out here into California.
Where'd you move in from?
I remember Andy Milonakis was from Mount Kisco. I moved from Ossining, which is like just a little bit west.
You know what's near Ossining? Sing Sing.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, it's up the river from New York. And so when they say they're going to send you up the river, they're sending you to Ossining or to Sing Sing.
Yep.
And you don't get Loveline in
Not
Sing
right
Sing.
Now. No, not in Sing Sing.
No, I don't think
so. Well, Kyle, we're glad you're out here.
Thank you, Kyle. And keep watching. You're 11?
Yep.
Keep watching, please.
All right.
Tell all your friends grade?
Sixth.
Nice.
What's your favorite part about Joel's show?
I don't know. It's just... Those are funny reality clips, and I watched the clip down. And
nice.
And I just really like the show. It's really funny.
Oh, Kyle, thanks, man.
All right.
All right, buddy, take care.
Okay.
Get to bed. It's late.
All right. Right on. Tell everyone in your sixth grade class.
This is John, 25.
Hey, I was calling. My girlfriend and I use condoms, and we've been using spermicidal lubricant. Yep. When we went back to get it, we found out they don't sell it anymore. Okay. And we've also used the VCF strips in the past, which have nonoxynol 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that the nonoxynol 9 has been shown to cause cervical cancer, and I'm wondering if that's the case. If why are they still selling the VCF strips then?
The only thing I'm aware of with nonoxynol 9 is that there's concern that it's an irritant and may add to the increased risk of transmission for viral conditions. But if you're wearing a condom, that shouldn't be a big issue. So the nonoxynol 9, the school is still sort of out. The jury's still out on that. So
so it is still available somewhere?
Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah, and some condoms leave it on, some don't. But it was just a small percentage increase in the nonoxynol 9 group in a World Health Organization publication. So that's still sort of being discussed.
Okay.
It works as a spermicide. Using your condoms properly?
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for a very long time, so.
Yeah, okay, it's good. Anything else going on?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, good night.
Right on. That was the easiest one of the night.
It was. Girlfriend wants him to bleed on her. Him to bleed on her? Cut her, et cetera. That's a little bit heavy to sort of go out with. Let's talk more about your show before we finish up here.
Well, we did this on our countdown. I had this woman bleed on me.
And?
Good
thing? Bad thing?
Should I talk to her? Just the description of the phone call is disturbing.
I know.
We're going to still take it.
No, I'm not going to take it because I have 20 seconds left. Yeah. I want to hear more about your show. So when do you go back into production?
The first show back is not this Friday, but the next Friday, which I think is the... Oh, I don't even know what it is.
So it starts up again...
Not this Friday.
In 10 days.
Yeah, in 10 days it'll be a new show.
And you started starting to look at the footage of stuff?
As I mentioned earlier in the show, Roller Girls is now on.
And what is that?
Now, it's from the producers of Laguna Beach, which a
are
lot
people
of red
still
flags.
On roller skates?
It's about girls that are women that are like nurses and house moms by day, and then are serious roller girls by night.
Oh, I mean like the old roller derby
stuff. Back in the 50s and 60s.
Interesting.
And, of course, there's not nearly enough done on the subject. So,
yes, of course.
They've done 13 episodes. We're very excited. Just by the way it's going to be shot. If it's shot like Laguna Beach, then it's going to be absolute gold. And then, of course, dancing show, Dancing with the Stars.
Back again. And the Ice Skating with the Stars.
Ice Skating with the Celebrities.
Celebrities, I beg your pardon.
And I think Dave Coulier will be one of them, which we're very excited about. And Todd Bridges will be one of the guys. Nice. So it
endless material there.
That's the thing is that there's these shows. I mean, those shows are not good examples of cheap shows, but the little cable networks can put up anything, and they're awesome.
Joel McHale here tonight. We'll be back just after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it for Loveline. Joel McHale, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, watch The Soup on E! Please.
10 o'clock Fridays, repeats 400 times.
400 times. So anytime you turn on the E, you're likely within...
Play the game and watch them all.
Within range of The Soup. Tomorrow night, Rob Schneider. Next week, Seth Green. Keep it coming back here at Loveline. And until I see you tomorrow night, please, good night and stay well.
When it's not erect, it's like inside his body. And the only thing that hangs out is his foreskin. But when he's erect, it's normal.
That means you're dating a lemur, I think, right?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.